podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ritchie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh!
That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof at the Gold Sands is raised! Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Hello and welcome to episode number 175 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. This one is called Cherries Go to Hell and Back, and I'm sure you know why. Firstly, let's start positive. And look, last night, Bournemouth went 2 goals up for the third game in a row. But despite conceding, it proved to be merely a consolation for Everton as the Toffees were put to the sword under the lights with Cherries netting another 2 to secure a 4-1 victory in the Carabao Cup. Later on, we're going to go over that game, but we'll also include some bits about the following game, the weekend's game, the Saturday game, the game at Elland Road, the second in a row whereby we had a 2-goal lead. This time we were 3-1 up, but it was Leeds United who took advantage of Boscombe's naivety to come back to win 4-3. It was painful. Tom Jordan was outside Elland Road at full time and took in some full time opinion.
Matty, nice to have you with me, mate. What do you think?
I think there needs to be a degree of realism taken from this. Obviously, a lot of people's reaction around me and a lot of Bournemouth fans are going to say it was disgusting. We're 3-1 up. We need to take something from the game, and you have to look at the management for the tactic side of it and how we managed that at 3-1. It was all wrong. But you have to consider the fact that we haven't got enough quality in the final third. First half, we should have been 4-1 up at half-time. On the back of that's probably game done, isn't it? I can't see them coming back from 4-1 at half-time. So you have to be realistic and honest and say, we're in a league where we're punching above our weight, and we're going back to Scott Parker, who obviously stated that we weren't good enough to compete at this level. And to an extent, like I've said before, he is right. He went about it all the wrong way. But you can't ignore the facts. The facts are that we struggle. We struggle with conviction to see out a game for 90 minutes. Yes, you can look at the manager who as well is very inexperienced, Gary O'Neill. So you have to look at it all round. Tommy Elphick, you know, none of these have got Premier League experience, and a lot of the players on the pitch, what the management team are asking from them, they're extending them. Yes, we don't expect to lose 4-3 after being 3-1 up, but once Leeds get the second goal back, their second goal, which was a moment of quality, let's be honest, it goes 3-2, we have to manage the game from there. Their crowd got up, and you could see what was going to happen. And ultimately, as much as I'm gutted and so disappointed by it, and I'm disappointed by the decisions Gary O'Neill's made, I'm disappointed how we managed the game second half, you have to bring it back to the first half and think we should have been 4-1 up at half-time, and that is game dead and buried. And the crux of the matter is we haven't got enough quality at this level to win football matches at this moment in time. I trust in the... In what's going to happen, I trust in the new owner to invest. I trust in his plans and what he wants to do. You have to trust in that. And there is no question that those players out on that field today are giving 100% commitment and effort, and they are together as a team and they're organised. What they lack, unfortunately, is quality in both boxes.
Yeah, 100% agree, mate. 100% agree. I think the last game, the Tottenham game, you could probably allude to the changes and say that Gary O'Neill got it wrong. Today, yes, maybe I don't agree with the Stacey decision, but it's a right back for a right back. You know, we're well in the game, and is it the mentality of the players? Because we didn't change much, and we scored in the second half. So, fireworks, by the way, at Leeds for beating Bournemouth 4-3. Massive club. We scored in the second half. We didn't make any changes tactically. It was just Stacey for Fredericks, like for like. So what is it? Is it that thing you're saying, like the quality?
Yeah.
Is it Because there's no real tactical changes. We've just got to keep going about our job as we do. And for some reason, as soon as they get that second goal, it feels inevitable.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. Is it just that? Is it that mentality?
The mentality comes into it. Of course it does, Tej. But I think, ultimately, I agreed with the change. I thought Fredericks was floundering a little bit on the right hand side, and I thought bringing Jack Stacey on to give us an injection of pace, which I thought we needed at the time. In hindsight, Gary O'Neill should have changed it. He should have brought. He kept with Kiefer Moore and Dom Solanke up top, two up top, and he left us. I mean, the game was wide open all day long, wasn't it? For 95 minutes, the game was too open.
Yeah.
And at 3-1, you have to have the nails, don't you, to think we need to shut up shop a bit here. We need to pull somebody back into midfield. Yeah. We need to maybe have two banks of four and sit and manage that game for 10 minutes. Because once they get that second goal, their crowd is up, their tails are up. Jesse Marsh is on the touchline doing cartwheels almost, and it is that's where it is psychological, Tees. Yeah. So that's when mentality does come into it, and when you're up against that as a player and as a team, it is difficult to stop the flow, isn't it? And that's where we lacked. But ultimately, we just lack the quality and the nous and the know-how at this level, don't we? To be able to see out matches. Nobody's questioning the effort, the commitment, the togetherness, even the cohesion and some of the quality that happens on the football field. But we're just lacking quality in certain areas and a nous to be able to see out football matches. And we've seen that the last 2 weeks, last two games, haven't we?
And when that goal goes in, like you say, it's not just the fans. It feels like it's the players now thinking, here we go again. I just wanted to say quickly, what do you think about last two games, Ben Pearson's not been used? Why is he on the subs bench if he's not being used? Because I feel like both these games have been perfect for a Ben Pearson. Just that someone that brings in that little bit of nous, that little bit of know-how in the middle of the park, just to break the play up a little bit, maybe keep the ball as well, and we just haven't used him.
You're bang. I mean, it was tailor-made for Ben Pearson at 3-1, wasn't it? When it goes 3-1, you're sort of thinking, maybe bring Kiefer off, maybe at 3-1, he's done a job, but maybe bring Ben Pearson, shore up that midfield, and just keep things tight. We all say it, don't we, when we've gone ahead in football matches, even when you've played and I've played, you think, keep things tight for 10.
And that's what he's there for, surely.
Absolutely. Don't give them any encouragement whatsoever. Don't give their fans encouragement. Yeah. Don't give them any. Once they get the second goal, I just felt that the momentum swung. That was one key moment.
Yeah.
The other key moments were the chances we missed in the first half to go 3-1 and ultimately 4-1 up.
Yeah.
They were the key moments in the game, and that's what we've got to do better. You're asking, you know, what do we do about it? We are where we are. We're punching above our weight at this level, at this moment in time. We're a small football club in the Premier League, and with the squad we've got, like I'll go back to saying, Scott Parker was right in a way, he went about it all the wrong way, but we haven't got enough quality at this level to survive at this present moment in time. We're hoping that will change, but ultimately this is what we're seeing now. We can give it our all, and the sum of our parts is far greater than some of the sides that have more quality than us, but we just can't see it out for 90 minutes, can we? Quality is going to tell in the end, and whether it's mentality, whether it's technical ability, whatever it is, we're going to be up against it. You don't expect to lose 3-1. You don't expect to lose 4-3 after being 3-1 up. Of course you don't. And you have to look at Gary O'Neill, who himself...
Yeah, got to look at everyone, isn't
he? He's lacking in quality as a Premier League manager. That's not his fault. He's given his all, I'm sure, is Tommy Elphick. But they're not Premier League managers with proven experience, are they? The same as some of the players. And that's where we are at this moment in time. We have to be honest. And all the sort of vitriol and all the rubbish I'm hearing around me about we're shit, we're this, O'Neill, you're a disgrace, Jack Stacey, you're a disgrace, I don't buy it at all. I can't get on that bandwagon at all, because we're punching above our weight and nobody is questioning that we are giving everything in matches. I'm not going to get on that train at all, on that bandwagon. I'm going to keep behind the team and behind the club, and let's go again.
Oh, fireworks. I was Europa League at half-time, though, Matt, I've got to be honest. So.
Well, mate, I mean, we're all Bournemouth fans at the end of the day, aren't we? And we're all passionate Bournemouth fans. And one thing I want to say as well, Teej, is that some of these fans, and with all due respect to them, they're new fans. They've only known the good times over the last 10 years, haven't they? So when things don't go so well, there's almost a degree of, we've said it before, a degree of expectation, isn't there, amongst the fan base, that what are you doing, what's going on, this is a disgrace. Well, not to me it isn't. I see players out there and I see a management team giving their all.
Yeah, for
the cause. I don't think that
is. Yeah, you can't doubt that. You can't doubt that at all.
You can't doubt it.
Like you say, it's just the matter of the last two defeats. But like you say, they're not easy football matches. Tottenham at home and Leeds away. They're difficult games. But it's more the matter of it. But I agree with you, mate. At the end of the day, Wolves lost again. Southampton still look poor. Forest only got a point at home. So yeah, this could easily be three teams worse than us if we keep giving that endeavour and that application. It's just managing their moments, and maybe the little break will do us good. Maybe. Yeah.
Hopefully.
But go enjoy the fireworks, mate.
Now, sorry for interrupting the audio delight that is Tom Jordan, but I just wanted to cut in by saying that this show is sponsored by the Green King season ticket app. Look, there are plenty of Green King pubs up and down the country. They're regarded as the home of pub sport. They're all in an ideal place to have a drink and some food before the game. Now, if you download the Green King season ticket sports app, it's free to download. The benefits include 10% off a range of drinks 1 hour before, during and after any games. You've got your booking functionality to secure your table before you arrive. Plus, there are instant win games on the app as well. Plus, we've got something extra special as well. If you use the code BOTN, you can unlock some extra beautiful offers and discounts throughout the season. Plus, we'll give you a free pint the first time you download and use it. Just search to your app store and search season ticket to download. If you can't make it to a game, visit a Green King sports pub. They're your home of pub sport. It's where the fans go. And remember, when you sign up, use the promotional code BOTN and we'll get you a free drink. Right, let's carry on with the misery. Here's Tom.
Cyber chaos.
So, yeah, first thing, we're competitive at this level.
Yeah.
We are, yeah. And we were, and we demonstrated how well we are good at this level. But, as he said, game management and the intelligence of the ability of this level, and I'm not talking about the players here, that's got to be from the bench.
Collective.
And from the management, and to make relevant changes that are needed at key parts of the game. You go 3-1 up, as we did, change it. You know, I was saying to Josh, I'm not some manager, but it's like, now's the time to block it in for a bit. See it out for like 10 minutes. See where the game goes. I heard you say about Pearson.
Yeah.
I'd put him in my team for the game today.
I don't get why he's not being used.
And he would be perfect with those nippy players that came on. And then their winning goal, why doesn't Senesi just take the bloke out? He wasn't on a yellow card. Just take him out. I mean, I'm not, you know, professing fouling in the game, but we all know what a professional foul is.
Yeah, just bring him down,
Just bring him down. He just kind of pushed him and gave him even more momentum. And then Travs, I know I said last week he made a little error, too late to come off his line.
Yeah.
Now, again, whether he thought the defender was going to get there, he shouldn't do that. He should take ownership of that situation because he's meant to be a top-level goalkeeper. But we're getting found out in places where, at this level, we shouldn't be getting found out.
Yeah.
So I think I'm not going to say anything against Gary O'Neill or the great guys and the job that they've done, but they're not what we need to be able to stay in the league.
Do you think the break could do us good? Like kind of that reset a little bit.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know what there is to reset.
Well, I feel like if we go one up against Everton and then they nick a leveller, we all know what's going to happen and the players will feel the same. That's my worry. It's that mentality.
But then that's got to come from the bench and then who on the pitch leads that. You know, who is that leader who makes that happen? So if you look at our team and who was left on the pitch, Smudger was under huge pressure. You know, they put their big bloke down the right, so every time that cross ball, he was always in trouble. He was knackered when the ball came in for the corner, which is their equaliser. It was all over him, just couldn't do anything.
I met head and hands, I didn't see it.
So,
I did not see the last two goals.
It's like, I'm happy, but I'm frustrated.
We
keep playing good enough football to be competitive at the bottom half of this league.
Keep saying it,
it's just management. It's management of the game and moments. Who is the player on the pitch? Who's the leader? Who's the vocal one that says, right, this is what we're going to do now, even if it doesn't come from the bench.
Just a bit short.
You've got to have both. So we're short in that element of game management and intelligence. Other than that, we are competitive. We've just got to get better at game management.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. Josh, coming on. Go on, Josh.
Josh,
talk me through that. What do you think? 3-1 up, you must be thinking this is going to be a win. What do you think happened in that second half? What went wrong?
I think in that second half, when we were 3-1 up, we should have gone 4 at the back.
Okay. Would you have made any changes? Would you have taken Kiefer off?
Yeah.
Who would you have brought on for Kiefer? Ben Pearson, maybe?
Another defender.
Okay. So you would have probably defended
Jordan Zamora.
Jordan Zamora. I was saying the same. I think Zamora didn't come on.
Zamora come on and Anthony in the last couple of minutes of the game, in like the 89th, not 89th, I mean 80th minute, we should have taken off, Tavernier and put on Jane Anthony.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Jane's been good off the bench. Lastly, before you go, let's end on a positive. Who was your man of the match? When we were winning, who was playing well? Who was your man of the match today? Come on.
Don't really know.
No, come on, you've got to give me one. Man of the match. Who was good for you in the first half?
Probably Tavernier.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Tavernier got his goal as well. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Who's anyone else coming on? Oh, Headsman, big man. It's going to make me look so small.
Do you want to end it on a positive note, do we?
No. Right, okay. Anyone else? Steve?
Why are we cuddling?
Oh, grow
we need,
up.
We need a bit of love.
All right, Steve.
Yes, mate.
I'm already annoyed that I'm doing this.
You can't see it in your face.
How do you feel, mate? Sum up.
Dejected.
Yeah.
Angry. Disappointed. Mm. For a lot of it for the fans as well, because there's a lot travelled up here today. Really good support. We're in a great position in the game, and I'm sure the guys have talked about it previously, but we, you know, Gary O'Neill's really shown in the last few weeks his naivety, and he was managing games.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're just going to go and repeat what Matt and Simon have said. But once you're 3-1 up, you take off an attacking option and put something in the midfield and just pack it out and don't let them win the ball. Just swarm all over them. And we didn't do that. We left the same players on there too long. There's so many tired legs out. I think Billing ran his socks off today.
He was good today.
I thought he was very good today, Tavernier was the same. He looked dead on his feet, and they stayed on the pitch too long. They weren't an option going forward. I don't know. There's so many things you could go and say we could have done differently. It's all in hindsight, obviously.
Of course.
But I don't know. It's the job now is how does Gary O'Neill pick this bunch off the floor after those two results? I mean, where we should have picked up points and we haven't.
We've got 0 out of them two. We've led 2-0 in both.
I mean, at half time, like you said, you're talking. We're all high as a kite talking about Europa League, and then
can't wait for the vlog.
How stupid do we look now?
What do you think about? I think I said it briefly to Matt. Ben Pearson has been named on the subs bench for the last two games, which shows he's an option because Lowe hasn't been named on. Siriki Dembele wasn't named on the bench. Why is he not using Ben Pearson? Surely that's what he's there for.
An absolute mystery to me.
That's what he's there for.
Exactly my point. When we went 3-1 up, it's a perfect time to bring him on, pack the midfield, get a little destroyer in there, breaking up their play. And instead, we don't do anything. They get back in the game, and then he gets desperate and brings Rothwell on and Stanislas. I'm not gonna pick them out for being poor, but they're not the players at the right time for me. Ben Pearson, he's probably fuming that he hasn't made a featured in both of these games, and we've needed to hang on to stuff.
Well, if he's not covering all of these, then what is he supposed to be covering on when we need a goal? I don't get it.
See him against Everton. I bet that's all we get to see of him, which is a shame because he's a decent player.
Yeah. Are you dreaming of Europa?
Europa what?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
They're going to make another subcategory of Europa League, so we can have Europa Conference North, and we'll be in that.
South.
South. Yes. Well, we're in North now.
Yeah.
I don't know, mate. All we can do is go on to the next one, can't we? It's really soul destroying today. Should be 3 points. We've walked away with nothing.
God.
We've got a long drive home.
Can't wait. Ben, are you coming on? No. Sam's just told me to like and subscribe, so I've already done that, Sam. But if anyone else can like and subscribe, that'd be great. That was a lovely game. I'm really pleased to make my debut, introducing people onto the fan cams. Everyone's in good spirits. We're stewards everywhere for the firework display of a Leeds win against Bournemouth. Thank you. It's all going off here. Look, fucking hell. Like and subscribe, do all that good stuff. And let's calm down with the Europe talk. We'll take 17th and we'll move on from there. There's going to be a lot of editing on the vlog. Up the cherries.
That one was a hard one to stomach. At Spurs, you can sort of appreciate it. They're a big side. They're a side playing in the Champions League. And it was an individual player mistake. This time, it just seemed to be the whole team's momentum shifted. Mentality, call it what you will. It was naive and it was a shocker. So to then win against Everton in the Carabao Cup, it certainly helped. We're playing them at the weekend in the league, of course, and I'm sure it's going to be a very different performance against them. But look, we've played Leeds, we've played Everton, and we've seen 22 individual performances from Boscombe players throughout. And in this next segment, we're doing a tier list. You can watch this at youtube.com/AFCB podcast. But myself and Tom ponder what exactly we've learned from each of those individual performances. And have any players maybe thrown their hat into the ring for the game on Saturday? Let's discuss. And what we're going to be doing is seeing what we've learned about each player, that's had a significant amount, so basically 15 minutes or more.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that means it excludes the likes of James Hill, yeah. Sadie that came on at the end as well in the cup. But we've got some categories here. And Tom, talk me through them because we need to know what these mean.
Yeah, so as you say, it's kind of for the weekend, but also going forward, what we've learned from the squad in the last week, because there's been two different teams, really. So at the top, I've gone nailed on, which basically means if they're fit, they're ready, and they're available for selection, they're nailed on to start. They've done enough. In contention, as you can make an argument for it, they've done enough to definitely be in contention for that start 11, but maybe they're not quite nailed on yet. In the middle, I've gone impact sub. So that's kind of more, we've seen bits and we've seen that, they could do something. Mm. But are they ready to start? Maybe not.
Yeah.
And then not done enough is probably when they've been asked upon and when they've played, they're probably not quite at it at the moment. Mm. And at the bottom, I've gone for uncertain future. A little question mark in there because it's not saying get rid of them or they've been rubbish. Because I don't actually think, when you look at the squad, I don't think anyone's been rubbish.
No, I don't think so either.
But
actually,
there's a few players in there which we'll come on to that I just think, or is it at a point now where they think whatever they really do and the minutes they're going to get, is it really going to happen for them? Do they maybe need a loan move? Is it maybe the last, you know, that kind of last few months for them potentially? So looked at that as well.
Mm, should be good. So yeah, Tom is going to give his opinions. Hopefully he won't look like a mug, but he might look, this is terrible. Look at that.
What a mug.
Beautiful. You might have seen this on the vlog. I started the deliveries to BH Postcode, so if you're in a BH Postcode, we will be hand-delivering them. It might be me, might be Tom, might be both of us. Thanks for all the support. Look, we've just done it to UK postcodes only. We will do international deliveries before Christmas. We found the international delivery courier that we were using absolutely terrible. Like David Cordell got his month like 3 months later.
Yeah, really bad.
Thankfully, it was intact. How it was, I don't know. If you want to order one of these, go to afcbpodcast.com/coffee. And then on the Ko-fi page, there's a shop or there's a direct link in the description. It's a minimum of 10 quid. I'm going to be transparent here, right? The mugs cost 4 quid each to buy. If you're outside of the BH postcode area, it's another £3 a post, which means we're only making 3 quid a month. We're a community fan channel. We're not going to take the piss, right? However, if you want to, you know, donate more to help support the pod, then you can give more. But it's a minimum of 10 quid. So we really appreciate anyone that buys one of these. And we hope you enjoy drinking your tea, your hot chocolate, your coffee, or maybe something stronger out of it. Hopefully you won't need something stronger at the weekend. So here's a graphic on screen now. And what this graphic is a list of all the players in order of minutes that they've played over the last two games. And we're going to go from top to bottom, starting, Tom, with Mark Travers, who played the full 180 minutes in the last couple of games.
Yeah, it was interesting because a lot of people were thinking, oh, will he play him on? I was saying, and I was really glad that I think you just play him because it could be a confidence boost. I mean, you know, you could have played Cameron Plain. You could have even played Will Dennis, I believe, in the cup. But with Neto injured, Travers did. He had no errors in the cup game. Made one decent save where he tipped over the bar. Could have been going over, but nice reaction save. So, yeah, he's got to be nailed on due to Neto's injury, hasn't he?
But if Neto was obviously available and then Mark Travers played in the cup, which we probably would have done, I suppose he'd be in contention, wouldn't he?
But at best, I would say. Yeah, not because of Travers, but because when we've had Neto in, he hadn't done nothing wrong.
He's certainly not an impact sub, is he?
No, not quite. Well, I'll tell you what, he can score with his head.
Yeah,
he's got a goal in him. But no, at this moment in time with Neto's injury, let's just whack Travers and nailed on and move on from that.
Yeah, the first couple that we got are sort of fairly difficult to classify based on details, one of which was obviously Chris Meppham, who's not going to be available for the Everton game because of the yellow card. He was another player that played the full
he wouldn't
two
have
sets
if he didn't get
minutes.
The yellow, would he?
Yeah, of course.
I think if he wants suspended, we wouldn't have probably feel for James Hill, actually, because he would have probably started the game. But
player of the season so far?
I think you could definitely make an argument for it, definitely. Yeah,
there's a couple that might be.
Yeah, but he's got to be really pleased for him. He's got in the Welsh squad as expected. But yeah, because of his suspension, he can't play. But I think we're going to look at this one for more in the future, and he's got to go and nailed on. Because I did make the statement at the start of the show that when we talk about these tiers, nailed on is kind of if they're available, fit, and ready to go, are they nailed on? Well, Chris Meppham is. Whoever, if we had Laurie Kelly back, well, he'll be playing with him because Chris Meppham is nailed on. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Jack Stacey, then.
Mm.
What do you think?
It's a difficult one with Stacey. I get really frustrated with Stacey. I've said this to you a few times.
He's got so much energy.
Mm, he has got so much energy. And he likes to get forward. And sometimes it can be very effective when he gets forward.
He bombs on. He'll run for you all game long. He's sturdy. He's got a bit of pace. You think he's got all the attributes to be a top fullback slash wingback. Mm. And then I think vulnerable ain't great. Defensively a little bit naive. Mm. And at the moment, with two players that we'll come on to in Adam Smith and Ryan Fredericks, I think the Fredericks signing in the summer made me think, ooh, Stacey shouldn't be, we shouldn't be looking for a right back, and we were. Mm. And even last season, Scott Parker decided to bring Laird on loan when we already had a couple. And I think that's makes me think he might have to go an uncertain future for me.
Right.
If I was in charge, I would, at worst, probably send him on loan to get minutes in the Championship, say, because I think he could do a job. I wouldn't want him to go permanently because I think there's a player there.
And this isn't a slur on his performances, because I thought
he got okay in the week.
Yeah, I thought in large parts on Tuesday night especially, he was very good.
Yeah. But I think what kind of backs up my point a little bit was that Leeds game. He brought him on, which was a bit of a surprise, but he brought him on against Leeds and he showed his energy, bombed on at 3-3, got a chance in the box and just played the ball across goal to no one. Yeah. And I thought, that's Jack Stacey all over. He gets in all the right areas. He's got so many attributes. And it just never quite happens. I remember last season, he come in because of a suspension or injury. I think it was at Derby. Yeah. And we just looked, he just was getting caught all the time. So yeah, I think there's a player in there, but I don't think he's going to improve them areas if he's just sat on the bench. Yeah. And I just don't see how he's getting in over Fredericks and Smith. So could be seeing the squad, how the squad shapes up, could be a potential loan move for me.
Okay. Ryan Fredericks then, he's played 97 minutes over the two games.
Yeah, really, I think he's been so up and down for me. Mm. There's been certain games where I think he's been brilliant, he's got a lot of pace. There's other times where I think, oh, he hasn't looked right. He almost looks like he's kind of not quite fit to play a full 90, to be honest. He's got a bit of experience, and I think that's why Gary Neil likes him, and he certainly played him in more of the away games, hasn't he?
He is your right wing back. Can he play just right back?
Do you remember when we spoke to Harry Redknapp at the start of the season, and we said about Fredericks, because obviously he's worked with him before, and he said that his problem with Fredericks was always he wasn't quite a right back, but he wasn't a right midfielder. Yeah. So he is definitely falls in that wing back slot, and with the system that we're playing at the moment, the way Gary Neil wants to play, I think he's quite effective in there. He's got to be in contention for me.
Yeah.
He's not nailed on, but I think Gary likes him. I think his experience is crucial to us, especially in these games where we're, you know, kind of throwing away leads and stuff. Mm. We could do with that experience.
Really interesting to see Joe Rothwell on Tuesday night. He's a player that, you know, we always were thinking is never going to come back from injury, but he did, and he played a bit of a deeper role than I expected, actually.
Yes.
Everton.
He did. I felt I did like him.
He's good on the ball.
Yeah, I thought he was virtually press proof because he's so comfortable on the ball. He wants to move it quickly, and he has kind of used him at very late on in games, hasn't he, in a couple of games. And I think he does move the ball well. I think there's definitely a player in there. I think obviously the injuries have affected the fact that he's not in a top couple of categories. I'm going to go impact sub because I don't think he's in contention to start at the moment.
No,
but I think he's proven, even in small parts, that he can be a good option off the bench.
Yeah.
I think now he's getting his fitness back, so yeah, I'm going to go with that. But later on in the season, he could even be nailed on. I think he's a good player.
I've got a feeling this one might be relatively short and sweet, but Adam Smith is
nailed on. Yeah, whether you play a three, whether you play a four, it doesn't matter. Adam Smith, I think when you mention Meppenbach player of the season at the moment, I think Smith gets overlooked. I think he's been, he hasn't put a foot wrong. I think he's been brilliant. Delighted he never got that fifth booking. I think he gives us so much flexibility. I think he's so underrated.
Yeah.
And love Smithy, nailed on.
Nailed on. All right, next. Jack Stevens then. Really interesting to see him play a full 90. I didn't think he looked uncomfortable at all.
No, I thought he looked all right.
Toothless Everton, I would say.
Of course.
You know, they did get through a number of times and just completely fluffed their lines, especially in the first half. But other than that,
I think that was the point I was going to make, particularly early on. But then the second half, once he got his foot in the game, they didn't get in again in behind. So I was, as I say, that was the main one that I thought, right, Stevens needs to have a good game because he's probably going to play at the weekend with Meppham's suspension. Mm. And I was relatively pleased with what I saw. So obviously for the weekend, he's nailed on. But I'm going to go not done enough because we're talking about the future.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put him in not done enough because if everyone was fit and available, he's not done enough to start, has he? I mean, it's not really his fault. We haven't played, but the centre-halves are ahead of him. I mean, he's not done enough, and you don't really have centre-halves as impact subs anyway.
No, agree. Absolutely. Okay, Ben Pearson then. I thought he was had a really good game, and it underlines a number of things that you've been saying about the fact that he's been underutilised in the games where he should have been utilised, closing off, seeing out games, just holding it up and just being the enforcer in midfield, the role that he does so well, clearing up in there, and yet he was just not used at all, which is bizarre.
I feel for Pirlo in terms of starting, because Lewis Cook and Jefferson Lerma are brilliant. But I think it highlighted everyone in the stadium. No one was shocked at how well he played.
No, of course.
But everyone was just like, oh my God, it's even more head scratching that he hadn't come on in the last two. But I think what that did do is when, if we were in that position on Saturday, I'm telling you, he's coming on. Yeah. I thought he was brilliant. He just does that job so well. His fans are always going to like him because he gives his all on the pitch, doesn't he? And he's really hard working.
So he's quite an impact sub.
So I'm going to go impact sub for a different reason. He's an impact sub for if we're trying to close a game out.
Yeah.
He's absolutely an impact sub. The only reason, I think in many teams he'd be in contention to start, is Lerma and Lewis Cook have been very good this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dom Solanke then. I mean, this is, again, probably short and sweet. Only 90 minutes. It's quite interesting, really. I'm looking just through that list now. There are a number of players where it says 90-0. Obviously, played no part in the Carabao Cup. I probably know what category they're going in based on the fact that they've been saved. However, Dom Solanke, crucial.
Yeah, nailed on. Arguably our most important player, potentially. I think Kiefer Moore's shown he can do a job as well, which is handy. But yeah, Dom's brilliant. Everything he does, absolutely superb. Whether he drops a little bit deeper or leads the line, brilliant. Great goal against Leeds. And yeah, I think that was a massive statement that we didn't have any strikers on the bench in the week, because there was no way we were risking. Do you remember the Boreham Wood game last season? We bought Dom on and we're thinking, what are we doing? I think we've done it in the 9-0 against Liverpool as well. It's like, just save him, wrap him up in cotton wool. So yeah, Dom nailed on.
Okay, Jadon Anthony then. Again, really good performance. I thought he plays really well when he dovetails with Jay-Z. We all know this, right? Yeah. But I thought he did really well. Loved the fact he got a goal.
Yeah, chuffed.
What's his status on this tier list?
I'll tell you what, he took that last goal, so he could have easily just hit that. The way he just kind of swivelled.
He sort of feinted on his right, put it back onto his left, and then, Asmir Begovic was sold. And
brilliant. And he's already shown earlier in the season and under Gary O'Neill's reign that he'd come on and he'd got a winner, hasn't he, against Forest. You're right, the Jay-Z combo is brilliant to watch. But equally, I think near the end of the game, him, Dembele, Stacey, they were linking up as well. I think Jay Nantley is quite underrated, actually. Yeah. I think even in the first half, there were times where we went, right, Stacey, you tuck in a bit. Jaden, can you just kind of be wing-back for a little bit? And yeah, I don't like that, but he goes and does it. And he done, you know, and I really like him. He's got to be in contention. And yeah, if he weren't to start games, you know he's an impact sub. But for me, he's further on than an impact sub. You wouldn't argue him starting. Some people would probably start him at the weekend.
Mm. Nice to see Jamal Logue on the score sheet. Fortuitous the way it went in. But a player that seems to always score when he plays. There are a couple that fit that category that I'm sure we'll come on to. But yeah, Jamal Lowe, nice to see him get a goal. And I think his overall link-up play was actually pretty good.
Really chuffed for him. I don't know if you remember, mate, but when we went to Yeovil last year, we played him up front on his own and he didn't look right. And I thought, because he can't do what Dom and Kiefer Moore can do, which is what I thought anyway, but he'd done it really well. I felt for him because at the Norwich game, he got an illness, didn't he, and couldn't play, and said he had to play. So he missed his opportunity. But I tell you what, you know, no one would have thought he's, you know, anywhere near it. Yeah. But he didn't. He was part of everything good. I thought everything good that we done, Jamal Lowe was involved in it. Mm. Really, really pleased for him. And I think he's shown that he can do a bit. Is he an impact sub? Let's put him an impact sub.
Yeah.
I was going to say not done enough, but what more can he... I think he has shown in the week that if we need a goal at the weekend, I think we might use him.
Yeah.
Whereas I think before Tuesday, I don't think we would have.
Yeah.
So I think he's made a case to say he's an impact sub. And I think also there's that versatility. He can play off wide areas if needed. So I like Jamal Lowe. Probably not quite. You wouldn't want him starting every week in the Premier League.
No, I agree.
But I think he's showing. I tell you what, he's one that I think there'll be interest in the Championship in January. Mm. I think teams will be going, if he's not playing, get him in on loan.
Yeah.
He'll score some goals at this level.
Right, we're just about halfway through this tier list and it's just time to say a big thank you to the pair at Parley for putting us up. We are recording this on quite a miserable day, but I tell you what, in here, mate, it's cosy. We've got board games, we've got our drinks, we can eat in here if we want to. There's a log burner in here to keep us nice and toasty, and these beautiful lights around the exterior as well. You can hire one of these Woodland Dining Huts, by the way, for your social event. And the pair is on Christchurch Road in West Parley. Fantastic venue, great drinks, amazing food. Their Sunday roasts are to die for. Make sure you check out their website, the pair at Parley. Spurs.com. We're going to carry on with the tier list now then. And from Jamal Lowe, we've got Kiefer Moore. Mm. Give me Kiefer Moore.
I love Kiefer. Yeah. We said earlier, didn't we, that chance he missed at Leeds was, you know, a big chance. Feels like that's the only moment he's kind of like let us down with an opportunity. He's just always just does, makes an impact. He's always brilliant.
Can I suggest that there are probably three categories that he could go into here?
Yeah, top three.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Because I'm really interested to know what you're going to put for this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to do. I think, yes, he can be a really good impact sub. Yes, I'd be happy with him to start. Is he nailed on the start? No. But is he better than an impact sub? Yes, yeah. He's in contention for me to start going forward. I think we've shown that, yes, maybe we've been a little bit defensively fragile of late, but getting him and Dom has proven that we can hurt teams, you know, and decent teams, you know, Tottenham in particular. Mm. They really struggle to cope with him. So, yeah, he's in contention. Another one, really delighted to see him at the World Cup. A little bit concerned for England in that. Genuinely, like, you joke about it, but I think if we went into that Wales game and we needed something, as an England fan, I think, oh, Kiefer Moore's going to rough us up, isn't he? Who would you fancy, Harry Maguire or Kiefer Moore? Do you know what I mean?
Lewis Cook once played for England, lifted the under-20s World Cup. 90 minutes against Leeds, not against Everton, suggests that he's being saved.
He was on the bench though, wasn't he?
He was on the bench.
So he was obviously someone that he thought, if we need to, we'll call upon him. Probably because he can carry the ball well and bring us forward. I love Lewis. I think it's probably been a few games where he's been up and down, but I think on the most part he's been pretty consistent. And I think him and Jeff in the middle have really built up a good partnership now, which I think for a few years we've always felt like that's the partnership, with injuries and stuff, it hadn't quite happened. Love Lewis, nailed on for me.
Yeah, nailed on for Lewis Cook. There we go, nailed on. All right, next then, Jefferson, I mean, is it even worth having this conversation, mate?
No, it's not. I think Jeff's, well, he just does everything, doesn't he? He's brilliant. And I've actually made a point, I'd be interested to see if anyone agrees. If you said to like one of the top, as you say, like the top four, the big six, whatever, you have to take one player from Bournemouth, and you think they've all got top strikers, Haaland, so they ain't going to bother with Solanke, are they? I mean, he's actually been at two of them, in Chelsea and Liverpool. I think they'd take Jefferson Lerman.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he would get in them teams, but I think, is he a massive drop-off from some of the other defensive midfielders? I don't think so. I think he's so good, and we're so lucky to have him. So, Jefferson Lerman is nailed on.
Nailed on. Love you, Jeff. Nailed on. Okay, next, Marcus Tavernier. I thought, really, really nice to see him get on the score sheet.
Yeah, that was
against Leeds United. I know the result didn't go particularly well, but that will do wonders for his confidence. And, you know, we want to be seeing those wide players scoring goals. And, he took that chance well. And also, I never realised how pacey he actually is, but he really is. He made Christensen look incredibly slow. When that ball came over the top, I thought either the defender's going to get it or their keeper's going to come out. But no. Really did well, and also nice assist for Phil Bell as well.
Yeah, I think they were both really important, because we've been saying, haven't we, constantly that, oh, I really like Tavernier, but is he going to be another one that does everything but then don't get the numbers, don't back it up with goals and assists, which you need? So that was really, really positive for him. I think he's been a really, really good signing, and I do like him, and we just hope that he can, kick on and get a few more goals. So for me, before that Leeds game, I might have said in contention, but I'm actually going to say nailed on. Yeah. I think whatever system you play, you make sure Tavernier's in there, to be honest with you. So, Tavernier's definitely in. Nailed on for me, Marcus Tavernier.
Nailed on. Okay, Marcus Tavernier is going into nailed on.
Got to be.
All right, next, a player that got on the score sheet, of course, against... Always seems to be getting on the score sheet, actually. Philip Billing.
Yes. I think it was a... Brilliant. Yeah, and I think it was a big kind of statement that he wasn't even on the bench against Everton, because I think that was showing, you know, I think other games you kind of would have had him on there, but you're thinking we need to wrap him up a little bit. Really pleased. I did worry that going up to this level again, would he get the goals? Like, we always knew he was good for a goal in the Championship, but especially away from him, you always feel like Billing's going to score.
Yeah, I do.
I think he's been really good lately. Even kind of played off the right at times. And he's shown he could do it. And yeah, really pleased with Billing. There are certain games, as we've said a lot, that I think we get 60, 70 minutes and he's done.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to utilise that a bit more, the subs bench. I've put in their impact sub, Rothwell, for example. Mm. Could be an option. But yeah, he's a guaranteed starter, nailed on.
Marcus Senesi then played 88 minutes. He was substituted towards the end of the Leeds game. Was saved for the week, probably rightly so.
He had to be, especially with the Mepham suspension. Yeah. We couldn't afford it. No. What I will say is, coming in for Loy Kelly, I think he's been pretty good. I think he's kind of slowly got better with every game.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think he's been out of this world. I think he lacks a bit of pace. There was the penalty against Leeds, which was a little bit silly.
Yeah.
That he gave away. But there's definitely a player in there, and you've got to remember he's never played in England. I think he's been forced in because of injuries, and he's done quite well, and he's comfortable on the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm not fearful of having him there.
No, no.
It will be just going to be a different partner for him.
He's definitely improved
at the
definitely
weekend.
Improved.
But I like him. I'm not obviously for this weekend. He's absolutely nailed on probably the most on the team sheet. He's been got Meppen going forward. If Lloyd Kelly were to come back. Meppen, yeah. Stevens plays well at the weekend, for example. Yeah. We might sign another defender. I don't think he's nailed on, so I'm going to put in contention going forward.
Yeah, okay, in contention.
Because if Kelly was back and Meppen was available, would you be saying Selesi's nailed on? You wouldn't, would you?
No, and if it was a back three, you'd probably put Smithy in there. Back, so
yeah, yeah. I think going forward, it wouldn't shock me if he dropped that. But at the moment, he's nailed on, yeah.
Ryan Christie then played in the week against Everton.
Done okay.
Did he play against Everton?
Yeah,
he did. I can't really remember.
Well, that says a lot, doesn't it?
He did all right.
I thought it was okay.
He does work hard, but didn't.
I think he kind of what happened, particularly in that first half, is we were moving Jaden like to have that whip,
yeah.
And he was tucking in a lot. Wasn't
he? Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He was playing quite central quite a bit.
Yeah, he was, and I think he gets a lot of criticism because he's not a goal scorer. He doesn't really get many assists. He's a bit frustrating. But he can play in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
He does always put a shift in. It's very bad. It's very rare that he has a shocker.
No,
he was okay, but I still wanted him to stand out more in a game like that. He should be one of the more experienced players in there. I think he's okay. For me, I was going to say not done enough, actually. But what I'm going to do is, I think Steve Hensman actually made a good point after the Leeds game, as we're all talking about Pearson. But is that also a game where Christie, I was just saying then about Billing tiring,
yeah.
Christie, when you're winning the game, is not going to stop
off
the ball.
Yeah,
he's going to work his socks off. So I think he's in that impact sub role.
Yeah, I think so. And also,
I don't think he should be in contention to start.
He can provide us with stuff going forward, but also he's very dogged defensively as well. He'll get back and work. So maybe he's the ideal player to bring on and close off these games like Pearson.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Okay, that's Ryan Christie. Junior Stanislas, nice to see him get 66 minutes. He came on at the end of the Leeds game as well. Obviously, we all know about his injury record. I think his performance was all right. Obviously, you can see the quality on the ball that he's got, but he got on the score sheet. Like, Everton, by the way, must absolutely hate...
Always scores against
He's like our Raheem Sterling, because
he
always scored against us. Like, I can't remember how many goals he's got.
It's something like 5-4, I think I saw. Something mad.
It must be ridiculous. But on the Everton commentary on YouTube, they're like, "Oh, he's there again, Junior Stanislas, bogeyman."
It's a weird one. I'm trying to think. I mean, we won't because obviously he did score. But if he didn't score, would we be going? He was not that good, actually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Probably.
He was tidy, but we've just kind of said Chris didn't do enough. Well,
yeah, you can't.
Apart from that, and don't get me wrong, he's at the right place at the right time. Good, fair play to him. I was really chuffed for him. He was okay. I think at this time, do I put him in uncertain future? No, because he's only got his contract runs out at the end of the season. He ain't getting a new one,
no.
So he'll be going anyway. I think at the moment, as much as he got a goal, I'm going to put him in not done enough going forward. I don't think he's ever really going to be in contention to start games in the Premier
Part
League.
Part of that could be down to his fitness, injury,
feel
and stuff.
For him.
He's still got that to get, because he's not 100% yet. So yeah, nice to see him back.
Yeah, but it's not a horrible way, but that wouldn't shock me if that's his last goal in front of the fact. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't shock me. But I was really pleased for him. We do love Junior. It's just a real shame of his injury record.
Speaking of injuries, I mean, Jay-Z looked like he was going to get injuries about three times in that last game. He wasn't utilised against Leeds United. But that's what you predicted. But he got 65 minutes. He eventually made way after going down a couple of times. He was off the pitch a couple of times, and we're thinking, bloody hell, don't risk him. But he came through it okay. And I'm just looking at the bottom of that list and sort of the players that didn't actually play many minutes. They actually made probably the biggest impact. So I thought Jay-Z did really well.
He was excellent. He was absolutely brilliant. And then I remember, like, West Ham away where we were rubbish, he come on, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
I always think he's quite good. Yes, there might be a little bit of defensive vulnerability there because he's so attack-minded and he's still a young player. But he just gives you so much. He carries the ball so well. I love Jay-Z. I cannot put him nailed on because he won't be nailed on.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. We've got evidence of that. For me, he almost would be.
Yeah,
I think he's got to be in contention. But I think it is that safety thing. It's that experience of people like Fredericks and Smithy that maybe he struggles with. And I think his problem is how much of an impact he can make off the bench, that you almost I think Gary Neal sometimes leaves him. But I love Jay-Z, and I think every Bournemouth fan wants him to start at the weekend, and I'm probably with you on that. But yeah, he can't do no more, mate. I wonder if the couple of bumps he got in the game might make it easier for Gary Neal to leave him on the bench. Mm. That was my concern. But yeah, delighted for him. Absolutely delighted for him. He was great again. And I just love his energy and his enthusiasm. And he's so attack-minded. So yeah, really pleased for him on Tuesday.
If you've got a cup game, there's no one you want to play other than Emiliano Marcondes. You know, him and cups just seemingly go together. Did he even score in the playoff final for Brentford?
Yes, of course, yeah.
And, you know, that was lifting a trophy as well. So he's very adept with his silverware. But, wow, he scored three against Yeovil last season, the FA Cup. And look, he's on...
Norwich this season.
Yeah, Norwich. And now, again, very similar goal, actually.
Yeah, he's just right place, right time, isn't he? Yeah. He's very, I made a point to you, didn't I? If you watch the highlights back, I think everyone's rightly saying, you know, Marcondes, right place, right time, usual stuff. He actually wins the ball back for that goal.
Right.
So we don't have the ball. I think they're just on the edge of the box and he nicks it off one of their lads and then we break away and he just continues his run. You just see him at the back post just waiting. It's like he knows what's going to happen. I mean, he's so likeable, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is so likeable. And in the cups, yeah, I mean, he's taking us to Wembley and bringing it home. But yeah, in the league, no. It's not going to happen. I feel for him because a lot of people will be thinking, well, surely he can calf bench to get a goal. Yeah, but... So he plays in that Billing role, right?
He's not impact, though, is he?
No, and Billing starting, and then if I said to you, right, Billing gets a knock, who's coming on? You would say Rothwell, Christie, all of these players over Marcondes. Yeah. I still think he might not even get in the squad of the weekend. So going forward, I'm going to have to put him in uncertain future with Stacey because if he's desperate to get minutes, he'll go out on loan in January.
Yeah.
And I think he's out of contract at the end of the season anyway. So I think he'll probably be off, but... I love Emi, but yeah, it's just not, he's not going to, yeah, you've got to say on a certain future with Emi because he's just not getting the squad enough.
A mere 15 minutes for Sarihi Dembele, a mere 15 minutes, but what a 15 minutes against Everton.
Mm.
Really good. I thought he was out the door. He was out the door under Scott Parker. But yeah, what an impact that he made. And, you know, I say the word impact, I don't know whether you're going to put him in that category or above, we don't know. However, when he did come on, you know, direct running, fast feet, it was the perfect game for him, really.
It was. I think them sort of games are brilliant for him. It opens up and he can get you. I think he would, don't get me wrong, if we're trying to, it's quite easy to go, oh, look how good he is, look how skillful he is, just play him. Mm. But there'll be certain games where they're tight and edgy, where you think, yes, some people would make a case that he could open a door, but I also think, is he the type of player when they're all like quite deep and rugged? Then I think he'd struggle. I think when the game's open, he's just superb because he can just go and do something. And he's the only player we've got that I feel like plays with no fear, could do something out of nothing.
I thought it was really good when he had it on the left flank and then he played that little 1-2, what was it, with Anthony?
Yeah, I think
and
it was.
And then he got to the byline at that point. He chipped over lovely for Jamal Lowe, who obviously this created the Marcondes goal because it was a keeper saves and then Marcondes put it in. But you're like really adept little chip at the byline. So he creates stuff, he links up well.
Last goal was him winning it back. Just harrying the defender. He'd done the same at, I think it was at Blackburn
season. That was really good, yeah.
Unbelievable. Obviously at Blackpool, we all know he come on and got the winner. I think at Sheffield United, he actually got a rare start and he was one of our better players. The thing is, I think a lot of people will think, oh, he's come on and done well, now you're like hyping him up. No, he's not doing anything different than I've always seen of him. This is what he does. Do I ever think he should start? Probably not. But how he hasn't been an option, I can't get my head around it. And I mean, he wasn't even involved in the Norwich one because, like you said, Parker was looking like he was going to shove him out the door. And I almost respected Dembele kind of trying to force a move, going, well, if you don't want me, because I want to play football. But, mate, I really, really like him. I do really like him. Put it this way, in some of these games that have been tight, probably earlier in O'Neill's kind of reign, and when you think, oh, we're not really creating anything, nothing's happening, we need a spark.
Yeah.
If you're in that crowd on Saturday and they were in that space, you would think, get Dembele on, wouldn't you?
100%.
Impact sub. I don't think he's in contention to start. I don't. But he's got to be an impact sub for me. Got to be. Mm. I think what he has done is he was on the bench, but I think he's nailed down a spot for the next round of the cup.
Mm.
He's got to be starting the cup game, surely. But yeah, for me, he's an impact sub, and I just really like him. He's just nice to watch, and he's really clever. His feet are superb. A bit like watching you on a Sunday, mate.
Thanks, man. We'll make this tier list available. So if you want to click the link down below, you'll be able to actually do your own tier list, and then you can screenshot it and then put it as a reply to our tweet. It'd be interesting just to see how yours compare to ours. So there we go.
You happy with it?
I think I am, and I think that's all all pretty much...
I think what's interesting is that we've...
All pretty much...
I've obviously done this and there's eight. Is there eight there in the top, in the nailed on?
Yeah.
Which shows, really, doesn't it, going forward, that we, like we keep saying, we've got loads of players that we think could really make a difference from the subs bench. You know, the yeah. two categories below have proven that. But we kind of know pretty much that bulk team at the moment. Yeah. Obviously, Selesi would be in there and you know, without Kelly, so there's one of the centre-halves that would be up there as well. There's just a few little areas where there's a little bit of, you know, it's kind of in them areas you expect kind of wide areas and stuff.
The only thing I'd say is that not done enough. I mean, Jack's, I'd say maybe not seen enough rather than not done enough, because I thought he did do enough in that last game.
I think it depends how you word it. So if I said this to you, Sam, if I said Mepham is available at the weekend, they've suddenly said that he's not suspended, has he done enough to start over Mepham and Selesi?
All right,
but no, he was he didn't put foot wrong. He was fine, and I'm a little bit more confident going into this game, knowing that he'll probably start. And shame for James Hill. We didn't obviously you alluded to at the start that he hasn't got enough minutes to really bother doing him. But what I will say about James Hill, just give him a little shout, is in that Norwich game where he played with Selesi, I thought he'd done very well.
So there we go, that wraps up episode 175. It's Everton in the Carabao Cup next. Hopefully, it will be a little bit more joy-filled. It needs to be, doesn't it? Until then, thanks for listening. This has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Richie. Maybe on Walker. Pugh. That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof at the Gold Sands is raised! Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Podcast Network.